Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 18th of October 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul spoke on The Lord is Near, and the reading is Psalm 145. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Well, welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. Welcome if you're here in person, physically here. Morning and welcome to the guys that are just walking through the door. See, it all happens much the same as it ever does at church. The fact is that people come and people go, and they're here at the last minute as well as they're here in loads of time before. And if you've just joined us just in time on the internet, really good to see you. If you've been on the internet watching for some while and enjoying the music, really good to see you. However you've come this morning, whenever you've come this morning, however you are this morning, it's really good to see you and worship with you. We have an amazing Lord. We're going to think of a subject this morning. The Lord is near. Awesome words that kind of speak to us about who he is. And James, Jesus' brother, writes in chapter 5 of his letter from verse 7 this: be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patiently wait for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And when I thought of that as a beginning of the service, I didn't realise how swiftly after that I'd have to ask you all to be patient with me, to let me get away with something, but here goes. Those of you that have already received the MailChimp of our notice sheets and open it will realise that the person that sent it out early on this morning, i.e. me, sent you the service sheet. Richard has got me out of a hole. Bless you, brother, for being patient with me, for standing firm with me, for forgiving me, and for not grumbling about me. And we've sent the notices out again. So if you have got that in your inbox, if you look again now, you should have received an updated version from Richard. And notices are as per the sheet. And friends, please read them, because they speak of the life of a church in the midst of all that's going on, and life aplenty there is here. Be good for one moment just to take a breath, just to bring ourselves before the Lord, and then just once more to read those words of scripture from James' letter. James writes, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And I wonder if James might then, if he'd have taken that in our context of today, against the background of coronavirus, might have then penned some words that went along the lines to follow that of, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to join Sue now in worship and sing, O Lord, my God. Even though through face masks, even though not at full volume, the Church of Jesus Christ will never stop declaring to our amazing Lord how great thou art. Friends, we have an awesome God. This morning we come before that awesome God. And whether we worship him here or at home, we come to acknowledge truth. We are his, not because we say we are, but because he declares we are. We have, and we come to acknowledge an awesome God, our awesome God. We come to acknowledge the depth of our sin and the need of his grace to free us from the punishment we richly deserve. We come, maybe for the first time ever, we come to acknowledge that he is our Saviour, our Lord. We come to give him everything that we have and everything that we are. And yes, that means whether at home or at here, the Lord this morning wants all of you. Not part of you, but all of you. And he makes that claim because he gave all of himself. We come to wait on him, to be guided by him. We come to acknowledge our deep need of him. We come. We acknowledge, we remember, and we simply wait on him, the one who will restore and whose strength is our strength. We come, friends, to join in worship with Sue as we sing Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father, we gather again to worship you. And even as this strange world continues, Lord, we want to keep worshiping you. Place all that we have and all that we are before you, and recognize that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Father, we thank you for the grace that allows us to continue to meet together. We pray, Lord, for those in our congregation and in the church and in the community as a whole who are suffering at the moment, whether it's waiting hospital tests or appointments, or even the fear of another lockdown, Lord. And we lift out all those in the rest of the country who have gone back into a stricter lockdown. Father, we ask that you would comfort them, that they would know that you are there beside them through everything that happens. And Father, we pray again for the world around us, with disputes and wars. We pray that your peace, our hand of peace, would be there, Lord. We pray for that peace for the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would help those who are hungry and thirsty, as we know you will. And so we say, come and fill us this morning and this week, Lord, with your Spirit. Let us wonder anew at the amazing love you show for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here comes Mark with a football in his hands by the looks of it. He always upstages me, doesn't he?
Good morning, everyone. You okay? Are you sure? Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to ask you, what games do you like to play? Keep it clean. We're in church and we're online. Okay? But what games do you like to play? Cricket. Well done. Cricket. Anything else? Badminton. Table tennis. Oh, I like table tennis. Scrabble. Oh, Scrabble. There's the intelligent ones over there. Hey, that's the clever corner. Huh? Pardon? Rummy Cub. Oh, I love Rummy Cub. All right? Lots of games we like to play. I like to play with a football. I like footballs. I like all types of, like, cricket. I like table tennis. Anything that's got a ball that you can hit is my sort of game, okay? Now, one reason I've noticed, when I was looking at this football this morning, I noticed something about it, okay? It hasn't got an end, and it hasn't got a beginning. I've looked at it. If I had a skipping rope, there'd be one end, there'd be the end, there'd be beginning, there'd be the end, but not with a ball. There's no end and there's no beginning. And I suddenly thought, well, that's just like God's love. God's love never ends, and we don't know where it comes from. No beginning, no end. It is everlasting, God's love. And then another reason I like a ball, okay? This is a great ball you can kick around, is that you can share it. If you've got a football, all right, someone will always come and kick it with you. All right? Always. They just like to kick a ball from one person to another. If you can play table tennis, wherever you go in the world, someone else will be able to play table tennis. It's just that sort of sport. It's something you want to share. In preschool, we have this lovely little game that the youngsters play every now and then, and we just sit in a circle and we roll the ball to each other. And when we're rolling the ball, we just say each other's name. It's not for the children, it's for me, so that I can remember the children's names. That's the reason. But we just roll the ball and we share it with each other. That's what we should be doing with God's love. God's love that's got no beginning and no end should be shared amongst other people. But we have a problem at the moment. We're in COVID, which means we can't play with balls with each other. At youth club, when we used to play dodgeball or something stupid like that, where we throw this at each other's heads, right, to try and hit each other, we can't do that anymore. So just because I can't play ball games, does that mean I should stop sharing God's love? No. There are other ways to play games. There are other ways to show people that we love being with them. There are other ways we can interact with people, and there are so many ways we can show God's love. We can pick up a phone. We might even send a bar of chocolate through the post. We might, like they do on that lovely advert, those boys chuck a bar of chocolate over the fence and say, "You don't have to chuck that back, mister." All right? There are lots of ways we can show God's love. So if we can't play ball games, let's pass God's everlasting, never-ending love around. So today, show God's love to somebody else. I'm presuming we've got a song, because we normally have a song, but the sheets have disappeared, so I have absolutely no idea what the song is. Okay, here we go. Here comes my glamorous assistant. Okay. Our song is "Your Grace Is Enough." Let's stand and worship.
Your grace is enough, more than I need.
Good morning, my church family, both far and near, and on CD. Isn't it wonderful and a privilege that we can share God's word together? Amen. We're going to be looking at the Psalms this morning. So if you want to turn with me, it's Psalm 145. That's Psalm 145. And we're going to be starting at verse 8.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
The Lord is near. They're incredible words, with, I would suggest, a profound and awesome meaning for us, for the world at this time. For many of us this morning, there are words that once again underline the truth that's been evident all the time, all the way through this period of our lives, when, in one sense, a virus seems to have made all things, or many things, uncertain. When the virus seems to get us concentrating on what will happen next, that seems to take center stage in our minds each day. When the news is full of one thing and one thing only. When there's confusion and worry, suspicion and doubt. No matter what, for all of that, the truth is, the Lord is near. And we have declared it week by week. We will continue to declare it. That reality leads us to one overriding logical conclusion. Our God is still God. He is still in control. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and nothing or no one will ever stop that. The enemy tried and lost. Friends, the good news, whether you're here or you're online, is we win because the Lord's won. The reality is, the Lord is near. And the psalmist knows and declares that. It's a claim I genuinely believe the world needs to hear right now. Not that our Lord is somehow interested on us, of us from afar, you know, keeps a weathered eye on us, but couldn't be that much bothered. Somehow aloof, only deigning to speak through prophet or book. But that he was so interested in us that he sent his Son to die for us, to redeem us, to save us. And he is still interested in us, involved in us and with us. The world needs to know that we believe we do not face the consequences of this virus alone. We face them together with the living Lord. And that reality, according to the psalmist, changes everything. And that reality in my life today changes everything. This morning, if you're feeling alone and lonely, I want to reassure you, even if this is the first time you've watched us on Facebook, that you have a family, a church family here, that if you let us, day by day, through worship and prayer, we'll be with you. We'll pray for you and with you. But more than that, so much more than that, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Saviour, reaches out today and says, I am near you. If you don't know him, he is there beside you. It's not as if he's given up on you. The reality is you've given up on him. And he calls you home. Come acknowledge who I am, he says. The Lord and Saviour who came to rid you of the consequence of sin. Who came to love you and bring you home. And Paul writes of the fact that he is near us no matter what. In Romans chapter 8. This is what he says. Amazing words of reassurance this morning. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. I know that for sure. You cannot, nor will you ever be able to stop God loving you. Isn't that amazing? You can't stop God loving you. No matter what you do. He may not love what you do. But he loves you. You can't think of one thing in your life, not the worries you have not right now, that separate you from that love. To those of you up and down the country who are going into a more stringent period of lockdown again, I want to pray, well, Richard prayed for you earlier on, and I want to say to you, not even isolation can rob you of the Lord being with you and loving you. It isn't possible. And over the century, there have been testimony after testimony about Christians who've been thrown in prison for their faith and how in solitary confinement the Lord has drawn nearer to them than ever before. Amazing testimonies of people that have been in prison and kind of found themselves literally writing scripture on the prison walls. And as they've done so, God's drawn to mind scripture that they think they've never even read before. That's how intimately involved the Lord was with them, and that's how intimately involved he is with you. And both the psalmist and Paul make this audacious claim. The Lord is near you. Not watching from afar in case you trip up, or simply interested in you, or somehow, pardon the phrase, mildly miffed because of the person you think you are or believe yourself to be. He's not even angry with you. Angry with you or in some way so distanced from you because of the sin in your life. He isn't that sort of God. He isn't distant from you because he doesn't think you're worth his attention. He's not standing right next to you, tapping his foot, wagging his finger. Both the psalmist and Paul and I claim the Lord is with you, more intimately involved with you than you ever could imagine, longing to be with you even more. And that's good news. The Apostle Paul knows that reality for himself. He writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord is near. Because for Paul, the Lord is near to them, to him. And he knows that truth, and so he writes. Words written not on the back of some sort of, with every apology to Richard who's going to theological college, on the back of some sort of academic study of Scripture, which holds that to be so. Although, incidentally, Richard, a study of Scripture does tell you that as well. But through his own experience. It's not as if he writes saying, I'm somehow wonderful, brilliant. He writes this word in his own experience because as he writes those words, Paul's facing a possible death sentence. And he writes, the Lord is near. Not someone trying to teach us as a teacher in a classroom, but someone pouring out their heart from the reality that they face to speak to the reality we face. And us Christians, many of us know, during this time of this COVID-19, no matter what, the Lord is near. Oh, and incidentally, both the psalmist and Paul know something else as well. They know that the Lord is not abusive. He will not force his way into your life. He longs to be with you. He longs for you to invite him into your life, but he won't force his way in. For someone this morning, I want to say this to you. It's a word God gave me for you. And the Lord also told me, as he gave me this word, that as I speak, he would confirm it to you. So whether here, in person, or online, please contact me. Because I love to journey with you. This is what he said. I long to welcome you, my child, to be with you. But I will not abuse or enforce that on you. The decision is yours. I long for you to try, for you to decide for me. Long for you to heal the hurts of the past. Even the past hurts that have been inflicted upon you by those at church. I long to take all your worries and your doubts, your anxieties about what is happening in the world at this time, and give you my peace. And then he said this to me, and I wrote it word for word. The Lord is near. Slow down. Let my son's love and concern for you burn through all your worries, for he will evaporate them like the morning mist. It is that simple. If the Lord spoke to you with that, please, 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 let me know. Because, friend, I'd love to pray with you, be with you, journey with you if you let me. But even more than that, friends, I believe that our Lord is underlining something to us as a church. The Lord is near. His coming again is nearer than it ever was. And I believe it is very near indeed. I believe that the Lord is reminding his church that God's clock is turning relentlessly to the hour which will both be the end and the climax to all that's gone before. Not only has the distinctive facts and pressures of the early 21st century, indeed the reality of 2020 itself and the COVID virus, made the need for us as a church to declare to the world the Lord is near even more important than ever before. But that very fact also cries out to a reality that those of us that call us his, that bear the name of Jesus himself individually and collectively as church, need not just to declare it, but to act upon it. In our life as a church family, the very fact that the Lord is near should make all the difference. Yet bluntly, we often act as if it makes no difference at all. The church, I believe, locally, nationally and internationally, needs to stand and declare that the Lord is near. What a difference to the world we would make if we all stood up, no matter who we are, and said, the Lord is near. One of the amazing things over these past few months, for me personally, is that I'd not have predicted the number of people from across the country that are listening to or watching our online services, but online services from around the world, or Bible studies, or reflections from many other denominations. You've only got to do a bit of analysis of the people that are watching us now to know, praise God, that we're not all Baptists. Hallelujah, if you're not a Baptist and you're watching us, because friends, we're all Christ's together. I believe the Lord would say to his church, I am near, and quite frankly, I am not Baptist. Did you know that, friends? This is just, I know this is a bit of revolutionary news in a Baptist church, but the Lord is not Baptist. Neither is he Anglican, or URC, or Methodist, or Roman Catholic, or three evangelical. He says to us, I am God, and I am near. I believe that one thing the Lord is starting to do in these times is to tear down denominational walls, because time is short. So let's stop wasting our energy and time. If you're a brother and sister in Christ that leads a church out there, please listen to my heart plea for you. Let's stop wasting our energy and time declaring who's right or who's wrong. And simply declare together that Jesus is Lord and he is near. And yes, this is a plea from the passionate part of me. And hallelujah, if on the first Sunday we're allowed to meet together without restrictions, no masks, no distance in seats, able to sing together, we come here and we meet. Can you imagine that Sunday? Only to discover that the Methodist church down the road is full to overflowing with people who have come seeking. And they're having trouble mustering the hundreds and thousands that are on the streets saying, we want to know about this Lord Jesus. The reality is on that day we'll close the church and go down there. Do you fancy doing that with me? Getting stuck in. Because friends, it's not important that Minehead Baptist Church grows. It is important that the Church of Jesus Christ that bears his name grows. It's not important that we declare the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and we see the fruits here. It is important that we declare the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord and that all the glory goes to him. Praise be for the day when that happens. You probably find me skipping down the road. Not a pretty sight, as you can probably imagine. But the reality is, that would be real, wouldn't it? So how do you do that? Where do we start? It starts somewhere very simple. With you and I knowing that reality, declaring for him. I wonder, and I challenge you to ask yourself, how many of your neighbours do not know the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord because they don't even know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? We keep it hidden just in case they think we're a little strange. We let our fear of what they might say override the fact they need to hear what we have to say. And how sad is that? Now, Mark said earlier, when he had a ball in his hand, and incidentally, Mark, I too would have been kicking it with you, that God's love has no beginning and no end like a ball. It's everlasting. That's true. But in order for it to be effective and potent in this world, it needs to be shared. As a Brighton fan, I can tell you there are often times when I think the opposition 11 are playing by themselves. We can play that poorly. Yet in reality, they beat us because they're a better team. In other words, they all share that ball in order to win. We need to share the love of Jesus Christ with our neighbourhood. And the psalmist in Psalm 145 that Lorraine read reminds us the Lord is near, and also reminds us in verse 13 that the Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. Our trust in our Lord is not based upon our ability to believe. Isn't that amazing? If this morning you don't feel as if you've got the faith maybe of a half a mustard seed. But the truth, friends, it's not about your ability to believe in our Lord, but our trust is based upon who he is, in his perfections, in his righteousness, in his ways, in his justice, in his kindness, in all he does. For he is holy. And the psalmist reflects that in verse 17. He says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. And therefore the psalmist declares, the beginning of verse 18, the Lord is near. Wow. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. And that should make all the difference to us, even when he asks us to declare for him, even when we tell our neighbours. Do you remember back in the summer we had the 75th anniversary of the end of VE Day? Do you remember that? Was it the 75th or the 80th or 75th? Got it the right way around. Some of my neighbours up and down my street I'd not spoken to before. Some of them, I've got driven past me. And you know, sometimes you can think, hold on, who are you? But I was challenged by Lorraine. Go and buy 3 or 4 boxes of ice cream, she said, and give them to the neighbours. It's a hot day. And as you do so, tell them who you are. Now you'd think, wouldn't you, to do that would be really easy for a minister. But I, like you, take all I have and pick up those ice creams and go round, share them with people. I came to one chap, he did look as if he was cross. I later discovered in a conversation with him, he was cross because the wife had sent him up on the hottest day of the year to the attic to get all the stuff they needed, and he was now putting it up in the hottest day of the year. He looked cross. When I gave him the ice cream, a smile broke out over his face. And even as he took the ice cream, he said, you're a lifesaver. And I thought, no. So I said to him, close, but my boss is. The reality is, friends, it was a really easy, open, honest conversation that I have built up in my mind to be really difficult. I want to encourage you this morning to break those barriers. Because if we're not careful, we believe a lie that somehow we'll be odd. That they'll think we're weird. But that's not true at all. And the Lord is near. Amazing words. Paul in Ephesians 4 has this sense of the Lord being our kind of eternal next of kin. The cry, the Lord is near, not just means that he's near now, it means he'll come again and we'll spend eternity with him. It's a cry of hope, isn't it, to a world that at this moment often lacks hope. Not just hope that tomorrow all will be well. But this cry, the Lord is near, is a cry of hope that is strong, true, eternal. A hope that doesn't depend upon whether we'll be together to worship as families by Christmas. But a hope that does acknowledge that the one who came at Christmas came to make it possible for us to be near our Lord. That's a hope the world needs to hear. That's a hope that the world often rejects. That's a hope the world needs but often discards. And it's the hope that I'm going to challenge you all with, whether here or at home, to go into the world, into your neighbourhood and share. It's a hope that you and I can give the world. The moment we realise the Lord is for each of us and the Lord is near. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have given us each other. But more than that, I thank you that you've given us yourself. That you are near. And that we can worship. Not the God that is somehow thousands of miles away or beyond our belief. But the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that comes and rests and lives with us and within us. That is that intimately involved with us, that they're there. And that even if we don't know you this morning, Lord, that you're standing beside us. And say to you, if you do not know the Lord as your Lord and Saviour, I say this. Revelation 3:20 says, hark, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who opens the door, I will come in and sup with them, be with them. So this morning I invite you. I invite you in your heart, in your mind, to picture the door of your life. And I tell you that the Lord is the other side. He is knocking, waiting for you to invite him in. And so if this is for you, I invite you to repeat with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of you. That you came to free me from the power and the grip of sin. That you are my Lord and my Saviour. That if I was the only person ever to have been, I would still have been worthy of your love as shown on the cross and your grace in power as demonstrated in the grave. And beyond into resurrection. And Lord, I invite you into my life at this moment, at this time, by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, come be with me. And so I simply invite you, friend, to open the door and to let the Lord in. As you picture that in your mind, do it. Open it. If you prayed that prayer, if you want some help, if anything this morning has touched your heart or your spirit, please let us know so that we can do all we can as a church family for you. And together we might declare the Lord is near. So Father God, I thank you for being in the midst of us this morning. And for us all, individually and collectively together, declaring the Lord is near. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have an awesome God, don't we? We started with that fact. Our God is, just to remind you, still as awesome at the end of the service as he was at the beginning of the service. Hallelujah. Bless you, friends. That is a truth. My hope is found in that reality. And my hope is found in Christ alone. And I pray it will be your hope too. We're going to join with Sue in worshipping our Lord as we sing a song with awesome lyrics, In Christ Alone. Paul, who wrote those wonderful words, the Lord is near, wrote this to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, which we'll use as our blessing this morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And at home or here, I invite you to say, all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining us on at home. One notice, just I should have said at the beginning, is to remind everybody to sign in. That is to say, to book in the church office if they can, in order that we can know who's coming week by week. Been lovely to join you at home. Praise God for you, and have a great week. If the Lord's spoken to you, please let us know. Every blessing.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.